I'm excited to share with you today. My name is Matt. If I've never met you before, I am one of the pastors on staff. I have the honor to lead the youth ministry here at Family Life Church as the youth pastor. I'm excited to share with you today. We're in this series called Fivefold. And what it is about, it's about the fivefold ministry gifts. It's five positions of the church that God gives to the church for the church's benefit, for your benefit. And I think today, even what Pastor Chris said, like after what happened yesterday and just the current culture of our society today, we need to focus more than ever on who is the voices of the church. Who are the voices of the church? Why do we need to listen to them? And how do we apply that to our life? Okay, so today we're talking about the evangelist. Okay, today we're talking about evangelism. And very simply, evangelism, to evangelize, it just simply means to share the good news about Jesus Christ. Simply that. That's what it is. And if you would just kind of go to the verse there, in Ephesians, this is the verse that breaks it down for us and kind of what we've been reading through this entire series. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Pause. The idea that some people have that it's the pastors and the evangelists' responsibility to share Jesus, it's only on us, that's actually incorrect. So what it says right there, it's so good. Our job is actually to model sharing Jesus, but also to equip you to share Jesus. That's actually our goal as a pastor because of this verse. It's not to necessarily all the time do the work of the ministry, but also to equip you to do the work of the ministry. Let's read that last verse there. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, so that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Okay? That's the idea. We are here to serve you as we serve we build the body of Christ together. That means bringing people into the body. That means strengthening us as the church, right? Those are the two different things there. Okay, so this is really key. So today we're learning about the evangelist. Okay, and if you want to throw out that definition right there, an evangelist is God's passion for the church. They are given the grace to reach the lost for the benefit of growing the church. Okay, so for example, this evangelist is a person who is geared towards sharing Jesus with people who don't know Jesus. An evangelist is someone who's geared to maybe even share Jesus in a large setting. And the fruit of that is that many people come to know Jesus through this person, okay? And so the reality is, I mean, I'll even tell my story. I was in seventh grade. I grew up in the church. I was in seventh grade. I went to youth camp. And there was an evangelist there, and he broke down the scripture so well for me, and I feel like that was actually when I gave my heart and my life to Jesus. Like, I understood, because I had that church background, I understood what I should do and what I shouldn't do, but I gave my life, I feel like I gave my life to Jesus at camp because of an evangelist. That's their goal. That's their passion, is for people who don't know Christ to come into knowledge of Jesus, okay? So here's the reality, though. There's two different things. And I feel like this position, more than most of the fivefold ministry gifts, has not only a position, but also a personal responsibility. So there's a ministry gift, and there's also a personal responsibility that we all have as Christians to share Jesus. And Jesus said it. He gave us this. It's called the Great Commission, and it's found in Matthew 28. And it says this: Jesus came and told his disciples, "I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you even to the end of the age." I love that, because two things we get from this. There is no suggestion in this that Jesus provides. He's not suggesting, hey, it's a good idea if you start to share your faith. We don't call it the great suggestion. We call it the great commission. And that's because it's actually a command for all of us. But here's the cool part about it. The cool part is that Jesus promised that I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He said, all of the authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, and that is with you as you share Jesus. That is so important as we figure out and as we share today, and as we talk about evangelism and the personal responsibility that we all have to share Jesus. And it's so interesting because here's my main point. If you catch anything, you know, if you catch anything, if you forget everything else, don't forget this one thing. Here it is. You have the ability and responsibility to share Jesus. That's what I'm talking about today. You have the ability and responsibility to share Jesus. And so here's what I'm not going to do today. I'm not going to tell you to walk up to a stranger after this. Maybe it's like at the restaurant you go to and be like, do you know where you're going when you die? No, that's not what I'm trying to say. That's not what we're teaching. I'm simply going to share with you how we tell our story. And it's simple. It's nothing profound. And I think it might be hard, maybe coming from me as a pastor. I have a background in the like education in the Bible, and I'm extroverted, right? You're just like, okay, Matt, it's easy for you to say. You naturally like to talk to people. I really want us to understand that one thing. Everyone in this room can do a better job sharing Jesus. Myself included. Everyone in this room. There's not a single person in this room who could say that every time they had the opportunity to share Jesus with somebody, they knocked it out of the park. No, because everyone in this room, myself included, we all need to do a better job about sharing Jesus. And so we all have the ability, we all have the responsibility to share Jesus today. And so we can do that, and we're gonna learn about that today, because we've all been in that situation. If maybe it's just me, but we've been in a situation where you're talking to somebody and you really want to like inflect Jesus and share Jesus, but you just don't have the right words, or there's just not the right opportunity. And so today I want to talk about the barriers, the things that we tell ourselves that get in the way of sharing Jesus, and then also how do we overcome them. So what we're going to do today is we are going to look at three common barriers and how to overcome them in sharing our faith. And the story today, yo, I love talking from a story. I love telling stories, and this Bible story is awesome. There is the guy in this story. He is the blind beggar. This is coming out of John 9. I'm telling you, this dude was, he could have been a rapper. Like, that's how legit this guy is. This guy was so cool. Like, I want to be this man's friend. Like, when I see him in heaven, I'm going to be like, bro, drop the diss track. Let me listen to it. I'm in, dog. So like, this guy is so cool. What we're going to listen to today, John 9, is so cool. But the backdrop of this story, Jesus says to his disciples, he's saying, I am the light of the world. And so as we read this story, keep that in the back of your mind, because Jesus, he's saying that he's illustrating how that he is the light of the world through this story. So let's read it in John chapter 9. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been born blind. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? And now two things real quick. This guy who was born blind, he had no savings account. He had no prospects for marriage. He had no social class. He was begging every day, all day long. Rain, heat, he was out there begging for money. He couldn't have a job. That was his social class. That was what he was doing, okay? And then not only that, people looked down on him because of what verse 2 says. There's this cultural concept at that time that someone with a physical disability had that because they either had sin in their life or their parents had sinned, and then now they have a physical disability. But, I mean, Jesus, That's not true. Jesus doesn't, you know, agree with that cultural concept. And so that's the kind of the backdrop of what we're looking at today. And so here's my first point. For the first barrier for effective evangelism is this: I am not good enough. And so here's the reality. This blind guy, he legitimately was such an outcast. Like, if anybody, he probably thought, like, oh, there's, you know, a prophet or somebody in town. They're just going to walk by and people are going to flock to him and I'm going to get nothing from this guy. He thought, he already discounted himself before Jesus had anything to do with him. And we, before we even share Jesus, often discount ourselves. Like, it's almost like we think of all the bad things that we've ever done and then think that, like, the people that we're sharing Jesus with also know all the bad things that we've ever done. They don't. So, but we have all these excuses in our mind. I don't have enough education. I don't know what to say, right? I'm not good enough. And so that's the backdrop of this, what this is happening. Okay, so verse 3, the story continues. It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus answered. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. And so the cool thing is, Jesus corrects the question. And he does this so many times in our own life. He corrects the question, and he does it for us too today. It's this. We oftentimes, when something bad happened, we often ask, God, why did this happen? Why did you let this happen? But he corrects the question to ask, what can God do through this? That's the correct question that Jesus is telling us to ask. And so he says, man, in our story too, I'm not good enough, right? That's something we tell ourselves. He says, I can use you're not good enough. In fact, that's what God wants. He doesn't want perfection, because if you were perfect, there would be no room for Jesus anyway. So God uses you're not enough. And so that's the reality of what we're looking at here. And so here's the barrier to overcome it, okay? I'm not good enough goes to this. Jesus is perfect, so I don't have to be. Jesus is perfect. Your story does not have to be perfect. It does not have to be, you know, rainbows and butterflies. Jesus can use that, and he's perfect, so you don't have to be. And that's not a license to just go ahead and sin, and Jesus is perfect, so I don't have to be perfect. I can do whatever I want. No, that's not what it is at all. But we get to lean into the fact that he's perfect and we don't have to be. We don't have to be good enough because he is good enough. So continuing on in the story, it says this. His neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? Some said he was, and others said, no, he just looks like him. But the beggar kept saying, yes, I am the same one. They asked, well, who healed you? What happened? He told them, the man they called Jesus made mud, spread it over my eyes, and told me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself. So I went and washed. And now I can see. Where is he now? They asked. I don't know, he replied. So what's happening here? He had an issue. Jesus stepped in, and he's telling the story. That's simply what we have to do today. We only have to say, what was my life like before Jesus? How did Jesus impact my life? And then tell that story. That's simply what it is. It's not like a competition of whose story is crazier or anything like that, or I'm not good enough. I don't know if I'm good enough to share my story. This is like if Jesus healed you of a headache, you have a story to share. You know, like this, it does not have to be this crazy situation. Jesus is perfect, so I don't have to be. And so this kind of roadblock of I'm not good enough, I think oftentimes has a lot to do with actually how much time we spend with Jesus. And just a practical application point is just this. If you spend more time with Jesus, you will be more like him. So you will see yourself the way that he wants you to be seen, the way that he sees you. So you're not going to see yourself as not good enough, because he sees you as valuable. He sees you as worth it. He gives you value. And so that's the purpose, and that's the point. It's just a practical point. Spend more time with Jesus, and that happens. And so John 9, 16 through 17 says this. Some of the Pharisees said, "This man, Jesus, is not from God, for he is working on the Sabbath." Others said, "But how could an ordinary sinner do such miraculous signs?" So there was deep division of opinion among them. Then the Pharisees again questioned the man who had been blind and demanded, "What's your opinion about this man who healed you?" The man replied, "I think he must be a prophet." And so here's the thing. He wasted no time to share about Jesus. So here's the second barrier we run into when we share Jesus. I'm too busy. That's the second barrier that we oftentimes say. And here's the reality. This blind man had things to do and places to see, literally. Wow, that was bad. Okay, that was a joke. All right. But imagine, like, with me, just for 2 seconds, like, the sensory experience that this man is having. Like, he is looking at the sky for the first time. He's looking into people's faces that he only heard their voice for the first time. Like, this is an incredible moment for him. If anybody didn't have time to share about Jesus, it was him. He had things to see. This was an incredible moment for him. And so, but he stayed and he talked about Jesus. And so the thing is, I just kind of break it down for myself. I feel like maybe this is just myself. We live in this place in our life called the busyness dilemma. And what I think that is we live and we put ourselves in this fast-paced life full of responsibilities and tasks and to-dos and things like that. And we have this tendency to put sharing Jesus at the bottom of our to-do list. But in actuality, it is not even a to-do list item. It should never even be on the to-do list at all, because it's a thing to integrate into our lives. And I have this opportunity to sit on a board with Hermitage. And so I was just sitting down. We were just about to have a meeting, and right before the meeting, I was talking to the person next to me, and he was. I was like, "Hey, how's your family?" Just kind of striking up conversation, and he was sharing with me how his wife was just recently diagnosed with cancer, and just the amount of feelings and emotions that are going through him and his wife's brain and heart right in that moment is just a lot. And I was like, "Man, what's your wife's name? I will be praying for your wife." Like, and so he told me and stuff like that, and I was like, "Dude, if you're okay with it, I would love to pray with you after this meeting." It didn't happen, but that's okay. Basically, what I'm trying to say is I integrated my faith into my life. It's not like I went to that place and was like, "I'm going to share Jesus with this amount of people." Or maybe even like, "I'm going to only share Jesus on a missions trip." Or "I'm only going to like share Jesus and invite them to my church." But in reality, we have to integrate our faith with our entire life. That's the purpose. That's the point. It's not a to-do list item. And it's simple. It simply starts with prayer. Let me have an opportunity to share your love with this person. Whatever it is, it doesn't have to be grand gestures. It just has to be obedience. And so here's the mindset shift, okay? From "I'm too busy" to "I prioritize what is eternally important." Because "I'm too busy" is not really a time thing. It's a priority thing. You always make time for what's important to you. You always do. You always make time for what's important to you. So if sharing Jesus is important to you, then you will integrate that into your life. You will share him in your life. And so continuing on in the story, I'm just going to summarize a little bit. The Pharisees are asking the man's parents. The man's parents are like, they're trying to kind of caught, because if they say it was Jesus who healed him, then they can get kicked out of the synagogue, which was the social hub of the day. And so they're like, "I don't know what to do." But they kind of allowed the social implications of sharing Jesus to make them to not share Jesus or to step back. But in reality, we have to understand that we have to please God. Like, and the reality is too, we can believe the gospel is good news, but do we obey the gospel? Like, we can believe it's good news, but then when Jesus says, go and make disciples, are we obeying that? Those are two different things. And I don't want you to get caught in this reality where you go to church and you have moments where God does something in your life and then you agree with God being good, but not letting that happen, not letting that apply to your life at all. That is the reality of the situation that we're in. And so continuing on the story, this is where I feel like this guy could be a rapper. Okay, I don't know. Maybe. All right, John 9, 24 through 25. For the second time, they called the man in who had been blind and told him, God should get the glory for this because we know this man is a sinner. So basically that conundrum that they're presenting to him is a really highly technical and theological situation, okay? So they're saying basically, hey, like the equivalent of that today is like someone walking up to you and saying, how could a good God send people to hell? Or how could a good God allow suffering in this life? Like that's the technical question, the type of question that they're presenting to this man. But this man he just owns this moment, like just such a mic drop moment. He says it, verse 25, this is such a cool response. I don't know whether he's a sinner, but I know this. I was blind and now I can see. That is so good because all he's saying is his story. And so here's the third thing. The third roadblock that we come into is I don't know what to say. That's the third roadblock that we come into. But this man, he actually did not know what to say because this is a highly technical and theological question that they just threw at him. And he's like, I don't know. But here's the reality and here's what you can share in your life. And it's very simple. All you have to share is your story. It's so simple. All you have to share is your story. Man, I don't know all of that. Like, could a good God, you know, send people to, I don't know. I don't know how that happens or how good, you know, a good God could allow suffering. I don't know. But I do know one thing. He saved my life and he changed my life. And so here's the shift. Here's the mindset shift. It's I can share my story. I can share my story. And so I want you to understand one thing. We're going, Life Youth, we're taking 7 teenagers tomorrow to New York City on a mission trip. I'm so excited. It's going to be incredible. But what we're working on with them is actually how to share their story. And so we kind of like are breaking it down to like 5 minutes of like a story that God impacted their life. Like write the 5-minute version and then break it down to like a 10-second version. And so I have this exercise for you to do right now. It's called the two-line testimony. Two-line testimony. And the two-line testimony is very simple. You can write it in your phone. I have it on the notes as well. It's this. Jesus saved me from blank and gave me blank. So I'm just going to do it with you real quick. Simply this. I'm going to share with you right quick. This is just an example. In 2020, I had what I understand as an anxiety attack. And I went to God and he gave me peace. Jesus says in his word in Matthew, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest for your soul. So that's what it is. That's 10 seconds. Two-line testimony. That's all that it is. I was experiencing this. Jesus saved me from this and God and gave me this. And then a significant scripture for you. As you do that, and as you just, I want you to do that right now. You can write it down, write it on a piece of paper, write it in your phone, whatever that is. It doesn't have to be super profound because I don't want you to get in this situation where it's like, well, I don't have a, I was once blind and now I can see situation. It doesn't even have to be that. It doesn't even have to be your life story, like into one 10-second segment. It could just be one thing that God did for you. One thing that he transformed your life in. You don't even have to understand every other world religion and how to like, you know, what to say when a Jehovah's Witness comes to your door or what to say when you meet somebody who's a Latter-day Saint. Or you don't even have to do any of that. All you have to do is this. I was blind and now I can see. God impacted my life. He changed me forever. And because of that, I know that he's real. And so that's my challenge for you today. And so, as we go through this, as you're writing that down, I want you to understand that, like, the scripture, it's the scripture and it's the experience. It's not emotionalism. It's experience and truth. And there's two purposes. And first is to tell others about, you know, whatever Jesus saved you from. But it's also to just remind yourself how faithful God is, how real he is, that he did do something in your life, that he can do it again. And so what I do also is I'm just going to share this practical tool with you. It's called Alive in Five. And we share this. We talk about this in our youth group here at Life Youth. We call it Alive in Five. It's in your notes. But it's basically five little pictures that tell the story of the gospel. Okay. And so if I'm talking to someone, I'm engaging with them in like a gospel kind of conversation, I'm sharing this or kind of weaving this in, and it's simple. God is love. Our sin divides us from God. Jesus paid for our sin, then came back to life. We need to decide to put our faith in God, and the Holy Spirit will help us live for God. It's very simple, very, you know, 5 points, what the gospel is. I mean, there's so many different, you know, acrostics or all that stuff. This is something that we use. I love it. You know, it's something very simple that I can weave into conversation. So I want you to just to do that, to have that idea, because I want you to know that evangelism, like the whole point of what I'm talking about today, evangelism is not about being perfect. It's not about having all the time in the world. It's not about even knowing the right answers. It's simply about sharing your story. And so again, my main point, like I said in the beginning, you have the ability and responsibility to share Jesus. And here's my challenge for you this week. I want you to share your story, the two-line testimony, whatever that is for you. I want you to share that with one person this week. That's my challenge for you. I'm going to do it. A lot of our teenagers, they're going to do it as well. But I want you to do it. And so that's my challenge for you. And I'm just going to wrap up in prayer. Jesus, I just thank you so much that you did something in our lives. God, that we can point to you as being the one who saved and changed our lives forever. God, we thank you for being so good. God, give us the boldness to share the simple story of how you changed our lives. You are so good. You are so faithful. We give you praise and glory and honor because that's who you are. You're so good. In your name we pray. Amen. Pastor Paul, would you come?
What a practical sermon, wasn't it? So much we can take with us. I loved what Pastor Matt said, prioritizing what is eternally important. Your story can have eternal consequences. It can. What God has done for you, as you share it with others, it has eternal impact. And that's an awesome thing. You know, we have a lot going on in our church this week. We have kids we got 40 kids who are leaving for kids camp tomorrow morning. 40 kids. If you're a parent of one of those kids, or if you are one of the kids, would you stand up? We just want to pray for you guys. We want God to just do great things in you and your family and your kids. We want to pray also for our Life Youth who are going on this missions trip tomorrow. If you're one of those, could you stand as well? If you see somebody standing nearby, would you? We just want to pray. We want God's protection. We want God to go before these guys. This week could be life-changing for a lot of our kids, for a lot of our youth, and we just want to see God move. We just want to pray that he would have that, just that opportunity to move in their lives. So once again, if you see one of these guys standing, stand up with them and just let's just pray with them and for them. God, we thank you. We thank you for the challenge that Pastor Matt left with us today, God. Lord, we do need to prioritize what is eternally important. And Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for getting so caught up in the external things of this world, Lord, where we forget, God, that you can so easily be nudged out of the way, Lord. And we don't want that anymore, God. We want you to just have that priority in our lives, Lord, where we're led by you. We're led by the Spirit of God to share our story, Lord. And I pray for our youth that are going out to New York City this week, Lord, that they would be able to share their story with boldness, God, that lives would be changed. Lord, that they would just be called into ministry this week, Lord, that they would know that this is what you have for their life, God, that this is what it's all about, Lord. This is what it's all about. This is why we exist on this planet, to share you, to just take the word into the darkness of the world, Lord, and just share you. Lord, we pray for our kids who are going to camp this week. Lord, we pray that they would just know that you're real, God. Make yourself real to them in powerful ways this week. Be with our counselors, God. Be with these teams that are traveling, Lord. Protect them. Keep them safe, Lord. Bring them back home to us safely, we pray. Lord, just have your way, have your will. Lord, use us today. Lord, I pray that if you laid somebody on our hearts today to just share our story with the Lord, that we wouldn't wait. We'd do it today, even before we leave this parking lot today, Lord, that we would reach out to somebody. Maybe it's a loved one, maybe it's a friend, Lord. I pray that we would reach out to them today and just share our story, what you did for us, what you've done for us, what you saved me from, God, what you've done for me. I was blind, but now I see. Thank you, God. Thank you in advance, Lord. We bless your name, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Our prayer team's going to be up front. If you have anything in your life that you want prayer for, they're available to you. God bless you. God be with you this week. God is doing amazing things. Amen. Amen. Amen.